Welcome to episode 904 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
As the sun dipped below the horizon, casting a golden glow over the tranquil waters of Capernaum, Peter and Jesus approached the modest lakeside village that had become a familiar haven to them. The air was tinged with the salt of the sea and the earthy aroma of fig trees in the surrounding hillsides. The day's warmth lingered as a gentle evening breeze rustled through the leaves, carrying with it the distant sounds of fishermen wrapping up their day's labour. As they entered the village, a subtle tension seemed to hang over Peter. He had heard whispers among the villagers, questions about the temple tax, a duty imposed on every male over the age of 20 to support the maintenance of the sacred temple in Jerusalem. It was a matter of fidelity and honour to the traditions that bound their community. The tax, assessed annually, was due in the month of Adar to coincide with Passover. It was a half shekel, a significant amount for many people, making it a financial burden for some. The collector of the temple tax approached them with a respectful nod, his gaze lingering slightly longer on Jesus. "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" he asked Peter, his voice carrying a note of curiosity rather than accusation. Peter, feeling a twinge of protective defiance, replied without hesitation, "Yes, he does." But as he walked towards the modest house where they were staying, his mind raced. "We don't have any money. How will we handle this? We've devoted everything to follow him. What are we to give?" Jesus, perceiving the turmoil brewing within Peter, decided to address the matter even before Peter could voice his concerns. In the quiet of their dwelling, where the faint glow of oil lamps flickered against the walls, Jesus asked Peter a question that seemed to delve into deeper waters than the issue at hand. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" Peter, catching on to the lesson as he often did, answered, "From others." "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said, a gentle affirmation of his sovereignty and a subtle hint of his divine sonship that transcended earthly obligations. Yet there was more to this lesson. Jesus, always aware of the need to not cause unnecessary offence, added, "But so that we may not cause offence, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." As Peter stood by the moonlit shore later, the cool water lapping at his feet, he couldn't help but marvel at the mysterious ways of his master. The simple act of fishing, so familiar and ordinary, had become a conduit for divine provision. When he felt the tug on his line and pulled up the fish, finding the coin exactly as Jesus had described, his heart swelled with a blend of awe and reassurance. This seemingly insignificant miracle, barely noticed among the many wonders Jesus had performed, spoke quietly but profoundly of a deeper truth. It foreshadowed a future where Jesus' ultimate sacrifice would reconcile the heavenly demands, a ransom for many, transcending the simple coins for the temple tax. The fish, a creature of the depths, yielding a coin for the earthly temple, mirrored how Jesus, from the depths of humility, would provide for a spiritual temple not made with hands. And as Peter returned to Jesus, coin in hand, the memory of the transfiguration on the mountaintop burned bright in his mind. The radiant face of Jesus, the heavenly voice proclaiming him the beloved Son, now resonated with new meaning. If Jesus could command even the fish of the sea to fulfill earthly obligations, then surely the mountaintop glory, the divine authority, was not just a vision but a reality that would unfold in ways beyond their comprehension. The temple tax was no longer a burden but a parable. It spoke of a king whose reign was not of this world, yet who moved within it, providing not just for temples of stone, but for the eternal dwelling place of souls. Peter's faith, momentarily shaken by doubt, was now anchored in a deeper understanding of his master's mission, a mission that would soon require the ultimate sacrifice, a payment far greater than any earthly tax.
The sun was high and fierce as Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, seeking a momentary respite from the pressing crowds and the relentless pace of his ministry. The air was heavy with the salt of the sea, mingled with the earthy aroma of olive groves and vineyards that dotted the landscape. This was a land at the edge of the familiar Jewish territories, where the echoes of Israel's prophets were faint and the presence of Gentiles was predominant. In this setting, a Canaanite woman from those very vicinities came to him. She was a figure of desperation and determination, propelled by a mother's love. Her daughter was grievously tormented by a demon, an affliction that not only caused immense suffering to the child, but also isolated them from their community. She had heard whispers of this rabbi who healed the sick and welcomed the outcasts, and as she approached him, her heart was a tumult of hope and fear. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David," she cried out, her voice cracking with the strain of her plea. Her use of Son of David, a messianic title, was unusual for a Gentile, indicating her awareness of Jewish expectations and perhaps her acknowledgement of Jesus' authority. The disciples, uncomfortable and perhaps a bit indignant at this interruption, urged Jesus to send her away. "She keeps crying out after us," they complained, viewing her as an unwelcome nuisance at a time when they sought peace and quiet. Jesus, initially silent, appeared to share in the disciples' reluctance to immediately address her plea, a hesitation that seemed out of character for the compassionate healer. When he did speak, his words were enigmatic and challenging. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," he stated, affirming his primary mission to the Jews. But the woman, undeterred by his initial rebuff, came closer, kneeling before him in a gesture of both supplication and reverence. "Lord, help me," she implored simply, reducing her complex anguish to a simple request, one that could not be easily dismissed. Jesus' next words were even more testing, seeming to echo the prejudices of the time. "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Yet, in his analogy, there was an opening, a test of faith and understanding. "Yes, Lord," she responded, quick and astute, seizing on his metaphor. "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Her reply was not just a plea for mercy, but a profound acknowledgement of his abundance, suggesting that even a small granting of his power could suffice to heal her daughter. Jesus, moved by her faith and her wit, then declared, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And at that very moment, her daughter was healed. The story spread, transcending cultural and religious boundaries, illustrating not only the power of persistent faith, but also foreshadowing the expansiveness of Jesus' mission, a foreshadowing of the gospel's reach beyond the children of Israel to all nations. As Jesus moved on from that place, the disciples followed, deep in thought, their understanding of their master's mission expanding with each step. The air, once heavy with the day's heat, seemed now charged with the potential of this new, boundary-crossing faith.
Both stories from the book of Matthew illustrate profound instances of faith and divine response, beautifully showcasing how trust in Jesus bridges diverse needs and cultural boundaries. Together, these narratives enrich our understanding of faith's power and Jesus' role as both a fulfiller of societal norms and a transcendent figure whose mission crosses cultural and national boundaries. These stories remind us of the universal scope of his ministry and the personal depth of his engagement with those who show true faith. Each story, while rooted in specific cultural and social contexts, converges on the theme of faith that accesses Jesus' power, bridging daily practicalities with profound spiritual truths. Father, give us a deeper faith today. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest. Today.